today, guys. Today. If you ever wanted to know deep stuff about me, this woman holds all my secrets. Guys, I have my actual therapist in the room today.
I think what I see most often is people don't actually take the time to recognize the function of food.
Right.
I think we're in a culture now where it's all about tastes. Mm-hmm. What do I feel like?
Yeah.
You know, what do I feel like eating? Everything is all about just feeding the emotions, basically. But right. The thought behind food is that, is it nutritional?
Yeah.
Is it actually what my body needs? Is it fuel for these workouts and these goals that I have? And I think people have lost that.
Right.
If you were to peel back the layers, it always comes down to identity because we have a lot of beliefs. Sometimes it's the belief that creates the behaviors that you have. When it comes to your relationship with food, what are you eating and why are you eating it?
Okay.
You know, culturally,
yeah,
we can be quite critical.
Yeah.
As Black people, as Caribbean people, as African people,
yeah,
there's a lot that is said and we're supposed to be okay with it.
Yeah.
But those things, your words have power. So true. When you're a child and you're getting these things from the people that you love the most, it has power.
Yeah.
It has impact.
Yeah.
So if you're being raised in an environment where, you know, you've been made to feel like you shouldn't eat that, or you should eat less, or you should watch your weight, or any of these things, that's planting a seed.
Right.
And unless you have been given the tools to address that, you're just going to go on thinking, this is something I need to keep doing. And so as an adult, you end up developing that and it grows.
It grows.
I ended up developing a type of OCD.
Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Weight of It podcast. It's me, Runneth Rose, back again to discuss all things fitness and health. And today, guys, today, I say all my guests especially, yeah? But guys, this one, this guest, she knows where the bodies are buried. She knows where they're hidden. Like, this is somebody, if you ever wanted to know deep stuff about me, this woman holds all my secrets. Guys, I have my actual therapist in the room today. Yay. Woo! Ooh, look,
already I started.
I have Karen in the room. Karen is my therapist. She's been my therapist for like two years? Did we start 2022?
Yeah, I think it was 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 years we did therapy. So yeah, guys, Karen, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello, my name is Karen Young. I am an anxiety therapist, but I cover lots of different areas. And I've been doing this for about 10 years now.
It's been 10 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You look really young. Thank I think you. I said this to you once in therapy.
I am a young therapist. I'm not one of the older ones.
Yeah, so guys, we've got Karen today, and I just feel like this is going to be a really insightful conversation. I think one of the main reasons I wanted you here today is I feel like when it comes to fitness and health, obviously we all either run to the gym or run to like count calories. But I think we also have to be mindful there's a mental side of it. And, you know, I'll be the first to admit, I definitely went to therapy to talk about fitness and health, among other things,
yes.
Which we won't be getting into today. But, you know, fitness and health was something we spoke about a lot because it was actually impacting my confidence in so many different ways.
Yes.
So I think today we'll be going into that a bit more. And I just want to put this out from now that we'll be talking about therapy. We'll be going into some like deeper tones and deeper topics. So if you're not ready to hear that kind of conversation, feel free to take a break and maybe skip this episode. But if you are ready to go into some heavier conversations, then please do stick around.
It'll be a good one.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Yes.
Cool. So I'm going to start us off with some fire questions.
Okay.
So as soon as I say it, you just got to say that whatever comes to mind. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is quite funny playing this with a therapist. So, trainers or heels?
Heels.
Oh.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that, would you?
Do you know what it is? I wouldn't know anything, Karen, because you're the always one asking me
you
questions.
You've seen this part of me.
It's giving
anyway.
First date. Like, I'm literally feel like I'm getting to learn you today.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Nice.
Doesn't mean I wear them. I wear the trainers more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you're more actually like I'm a heel. I'm the same though. I wear trainers. Everyone has to wear trainers more. But
exactly.
Please, I'm tired of wearing trainers all the time to events. I like heels.
I'm gonna turn up.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So let's say it's treat day.
Yeah.
Are you reaching for something sweet or savory?
Sweet.
Mm. My kind of girl. Mm. So I knew we'd go along because we're the same kind of person. Okay, and the last one: fitness class or gym?
Class.
Why?
Class, babe. Oh. I don't like the gym, I'll be real. Mm-hmm. I can't. The whole culture of gym, the whole intensity of the gym, I don't like.
Yeah.
So I like to go to my classes, have a schedule that works for me, and it has to be fun. I don't like monotony. I like to change it up. So classes work a lot better.
Okay. Yeah. Got you. Got you. Mm-hmm. Got you. I feel like I love both. I think depend on the type of class it is, but I think, yeah, I do agree. The gym is just...
Yeah. You have to be really disciplined.
You have to. And I think the people who do, I'd like to believe they must like it to some degree because it is boring.
Yeah.
It is boring. Like, that's the truth. Like, it gets the results, but it's boring.
Yes.
So
it's I feel like it's more public. So I think when you're in a class, it's limited. So usually it's like 6 people, 12 people.
Yeah.
You get, it's a sense of community. Whereas the gym is just eyes.
Yeah. I hear that. Okay, cool. So, as you know, there's a question I ask every single guest, and I'm very curious to ask this question to my therapist, actually. Ms. Karen, what weight are you carrying?
So I had a think about this, and I have to share this one because I think it's something that a lot of people are not aware of. Mm-hmm. And the weight I'm carrying is to do with my skin.
Oh.
And that might be like, oh, what is that about? So it's a long story, but I'm going to give you the very short version of it. So in short, I ended up developing a type of OCD, which is called dermatillomania, which is a skin picking disorder. And I had that for years, and it started out as just kind of picking my skin generally, and it turned out into a fully blown disorder. And it was fueled by, because it's an anxiety disorder, it was fueled by my social anxiety. So I still carry the weight of that with me now, because even though I don't have the disorder, even though I don't have anxiety, in terms of how I show up, how confident I feel in my body, that plays a huge part, because I still have the scars that I'm kind of working through and trying to heal from. So I did a lot of damage in a short space of time.
Okay.
And so, that's the weight that I'm carrying. And so this topic is really important because I think weight and how you relate to your body and your confidence comes in many different packages. And so that one thing with my skin turned into a whole big journey with how I felt about my whole body.
Got you.
And I ended up withdrawing on such a level you wouldn't even recognize the carrying in front of you today.
Oh my god,
a big journey.
I'm really shocked to hear that. And when did that start?
It started from secondary school. Started from secondary school, and it wasn't acne, just the typical teenage spots that you get. And it just got out of control. And the people around me also had the same bad habits of picking skin.
Okay.
So at home, it became a thing of, oh, let me pick that. You've got a spot. And it just became a conscious thing. And then it just developed into a habit that I started to lose control of, to the point where I would fixate in the mirror and pick my skin to such an extent I wouldn't even know how long I'd be there. I could be there for hours.
And when you're doing this, is it like... Like, is your skin bleeding as well?
Yeah, my skin would... I would have deep wounds. My skin would be sore. And it was so bad to the point where I withdrew completely. I started covering up my body. I started to wear makeup. Mm. I started to stop going out. I wouldn't answer the door to the postman. Like, it got really bad. But this went on for years.
Yeah.
But at the worst of it, I was housebound. Like, I couldn't go to weddings. It doesn't matter who you were. I cancelled so many things. I just kind of completely went in myself.
And was that because of the scars that you had left? Or was it because you actually still had like other spots as well? Was it like...
It was because of the damage. It was because of the scar. And it was because of how sore my skin was. But the interesting thing about the whole journey is I wasn't actually conscious of it to begin with. I was okay. It was other people who were like commenting because I'm fair. People would be like, oh, what's happened to your skin? Like, oh, and that made me more conscious. Mm-hmm. Like, I could tell you some stories. I was on the bus and somebody just came up to me randomly on the bus and was like, you shouldn't pick your skin. I used to work in House of Fraser, so I'd be working and people would be like, what's going on with your skin? Is that freckles? Like, people would just make it their business to come
in the comments. Yeah.
And that's where, because I never used to wear makeup, and that's when I started to wear makeup, and then it became a mask. God. And if you know anything about psychology, when you start to mask stuff, it's a wrap, because it all becomes secretive. It all become, you're in your own head.
Right.
And then it just escalated from there.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you know, as you're saying this, I'm literally looking at your skin. I'm thinking, I would have never, you have one of the most flawless skin that I've ever seen. Like, I'm not even just saying this. I've literally been staring and thinking, what?
Yeah.
I would never have guessed that.
Yeah.
It's so interesting you said about the masking thing, because I think even like from, like a weight loss even point of view, like just fitness point of view, people also mask
exactly
the things that they're doing, exactly, for example. And then it becomes like something that you're allowed to eat, you're now being secretive with it and you don't want to talk about it and things like that. So it is really interesting that, I guess, when I think about the weight of it, I never would have thought of skin as being something that is also, because like you said, if you're covering yourself up, it's all to do with appearance, essentially.
Exactly. And when it comes to weight, one of the things that people are fixated on is how they look.
How they look, yeah.
How they feel,
yeah.
But more importantly, how they look. And it can be the shape, not just the weight. It can show up in so many different ways. Yeah. So it then, like you say, it becomes another mask, and then it becomes another thing to focus on. And even though my thing was picking, to somebody who's struggling with weight, it can be their eating. It can be the scales. It can be, there's a point of fixation that you become obsessed with, and it creates a negative cycle.
Wow. This feels like free therapy at this point. Like, no, it's so true. Because you see, you said it, mine is scales. Mine is the scales. Like, even though, I guess since we did therapy, there has been some improvements, but my thing that I'm still trying to battle is the scales. Okay. Is the scales. And I think it doesn't help that it's even in my bedroom now. It's not in the bathroom, it's there. Yeah. I know, we're probably going to tell me off about that.
How did we get there?
I don't know how we got there. It's in the bedroom now. But that's so interesting. And do you feel like, so from like a fitness and health thing, like from your journey, do you feel like everything with your skin kind of like, did that help your, like, did you go in working out or anything like that help with your skin? Or
It's been a journey.
Yeah.
And so because of the way that I just internalized it, and because of the way it completely knocked my confidence, I neglected my body, in all honesty. It became, this is why I'm talking about fixation. It becomes so strong that you neglect that you're a whole person. So I forgot about the fact that, you know, I'm not really eating well, or I'm not actually doing proper skincare, or all of those things went out the window. And so I didn't really pay attention to my body like that until maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And I remember, because I went on holiday and I just felt like rubbish. Like, I just felt I was the heaviest I'd ever been. I just looked, in my opinion, a mess. Like, my clothes were a mess. Like, I didn't even I didn't care about my appearance anymore. And that used to be something I really valued.
Right.
I just felt messy. And so that was the moment where I had to really look at myself and recognize that you're not okay. Like, this is affecting everything now. It's gone beyond your skin and it's affecting your whole being.
Right.
And I just didn't feel like myself.
Yeah.
So, that was a turning point.
And I think that is the worst place to be, when you don't feel like yourself. And it's like, I mean, I think I always quote this tweet. There was a tweet I saw a couple of months ago, and it's like, with life, it's that you're constantly trying to reconnect with yourself and find yourself again. Like, but that might look like starting something new or meeting new people, but actually what you're trying to do is just find like yourself again. And I think when you, like you said, when you become fixated on these things, you're not even in the picture anymore. Like, it's just you and this thing that exists. Wow, that's a heavy weight to carry.
It is, but it's not the same as it was.
Yeah.
So now it's more of a reminder of my journey.
Okay,
and that's
that.
Why I was so excited to come on this platform, because I was like, I'm never this side of the chair.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be able to share that with people.
Yeah.
But in terms of fitness, what it has done for me is, there was literally a significant moment where I booked a photo shoot. You know, you do them holiday photo shoots.
Yeah.
And I already felt bad.
Yeah.
But I had my makeup as backup, because that was my mask.
Yeah.
Did the makeup match my face?
Oh,
because you're on holiday. And I literally was like, you know, you just feel like you can't get any lower. I've put this thing.
Yeah.
My daughter's here. So it's not even like I can, you know, be my real self.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, I have to do it without the makeup.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do it. But can I tell you, it was the life-changing moment because that photographer made me feel so 100.
I love that.
And I was out in public. And just as the thing, as the shoot went on, I just got all my confidence back. And I literally went in the water, came out the water, and I just was like, right, this is me now.
Yeah.
And that sparked my journey to fitness because I was like, I just want to be well.
Yeah.
I'm not even interested in anything else. I want to be healthy. I want to be well.
Yeah.
My skin is a part of that.
Yeah.
But I'm not just going to fixate on that anymore. I'm going to look at me as a whole person.
Yeah. You're more than just skin or what you're like.
That's how I started my little fitness journey.
Oh, I love that. That is such a positive, like, outlook of it. And I'm really happy that you've got to that point. And if anything, like, this is something you just look back on and you just know it's part of your journey as well. So I'm really happy to hear that. So I wanted to kind of touch on, I guess, to remind people how I kind of got into therapy with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said at the beginning, guys, I cannot come on here and keep talking about running and weights and eating from plastic containers for the life of me without mentioning the impact of therapy. So for those of you that don't know, I guess by the time, obviously I started running throws and all the rest of it, then I got to a point where I was just literally running from life, like as in anything you can imagine, I was running away from. So the run and throws element was just so far gone. It was like, I was just running to escape everything and everything. Mm-hmm. And Karen picked that up. She clocked onto me and my rubbish. And she said, why are you still running from everything?
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, there was a moment in therapy, I think it was the first time we did therapy. And I'll never forget, like, I think it might have been the session, like our last session, the session before our last session. And you asked me if I was still running. And I just remember that was like, it just felt like, you know, in a movie, like that's when they zoom into you. It was just that moment. And I just remember it being like that because that question meant so many different things because obviously, I'm a runner.
Yeah.
But then when you asked me if I'm running, I think you were actually asking me if I was physically running, but there was also like, am I still emotionally running? So I remember I wasn't actually running anymore. And I was like, I've been walking a lot more. And I think we just both had a moment. It was like, you're slowing down. And it was like, because I'm the type of person that if I need to do something, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then I was just bearing so much and then it was weighing me down. But no one knew it was weighing me down apart from my therapist, basically. And then it was like, I'm still trying to like do a 5K run, 10K run, but I actually don't have the strength to do it. But I was still doing it because I just feel like I have to do it. So I wasn't doing this stuff to improve my body. I wasn't doing it because it's of health reasons. I was just doing things because I felt I had to do it.
Yeah.
And I think when I slowed down and I was actually able to start walking, I think psychologically as well, I was genuinely just walking into different things in my life as opposed to trying to run and sprint into things. And I just remember that was just, I just never forget that moment in therapy. And then by the time I had the second round of therapy, one thing about me, I will email Karen when I'm going through something. I'll be like, hey, you got any free slots coming up? And we had enough of a round of therapy, which was really like I think my best time of therapy actually. And I remember when this is the first time I think I really opened up about my body. And you know, it was something I had never admitted to anybody apart from you. And obviously, I'm happy to share on the platform. But I used to do a lot of body checking. I literally wake up and the first thing I do, sometimes even before prayer, before even checking my arms are working and everything, I will stand in that mirror and literally lift up my top, my T-shirt, whatever I'm wearing. Like I will lift up to look at my stomach, nothing else. And then that was just something I'd been doing for years. And then you like kind of like, obviously, we went through different things in therapy and I think one of the things that I found really helpful, which I still help think of today, is actually trying to appreciate my body parts and stop looking at things from a vanity point of view. And my stomach would look nice in a bikini, but it actually does help digest my food. And I have to be grateful for that. And thank God for my legs. And I just remember like I never looked at my body
in that way.
And it's something that I found really helpful. And I guess I kind of wanted to touch on like on that side of things. Do you feel like that's something that comes up a lot in therapy when it comes to relationship with one's body?
Absolutely. I think that is probably the most, if you were to peel back the layers, it always comes down to identity because we have a lot of beliefs and those beliefs carry meaning. We think about, okay, who am I
yeah.
in relation to this?
Right.
Who am I in relation to my weight?
Yeah.
Who am I in relation to my looks?
Yeah.
And when your identity becomes that thing,
yeah.
it's very easy to only focus on that.
Yeah.
And everything else just goes to the background.
Yeah.
And the reason why I think it's so strong is because of the way our brain works. Our brain likes patterns. Our brain likes convenience. So if you spend a lot of energy just focusing on one thing,
mm.
your brain will automate it.
Right.
It doesn't care if it's positive or negative.
Right.
So if you're giving this thing energy and you're putting your emotions behind it as well,
mm-hmm.
you're telling your brain this is important.
Okay.
So yeah, in therapy, it shows up like that. It shows up in people really losing connection with themselves because they're focusing on a particular thing.
Okay. And where does that stem from?
I mean, it can stem from all kinds of places. Mm-hmm. But some of it comes from childhood.
Yeah.
Some of it comes from, you know, the initial relationships that you have with yourself or the relationships you have in your home. So to give you some examples, it can be, you know, what's said around the table in regards to food. It can be what's said or the attitude that people have towards working out.
Yeah.
It can be looks.
Mm.
So I think somebody mentioned this in one of your previous episodes that, you know, culturally.
Yeah.
We can be quite critical
yeah.
as Black people, as Caribbean people, as African people.
Yeah.
There's a lot that is said and we're supposed to be okay with it.
Yeah.
But those things, your words have power. So true. When you're a child and you're getting these things from the people that you love the most, it has power.
Yeah.
It has impact.
Yeah.
So if you're being raised in a environment where, you know, you've been made to feel like you shouldn't eat that or you should eat less or you should watch your weight or any of these things, that's planting a seed.
Right.
And unless you have been given the tools to address that, mm-hmm. you're just going to go on thinking this is something I need to keep doing. And right. so as an adult, you end up developing that and it grows.
It grows. Yeah. Yeah. Completely. I mean, that's a word in itself, because
yeah.
I definitely agree with that. I think those are things that we picked up in therapy
yeah.
that I think a lot of like the things that were fueling me in that season might not have been like negative things growing up, but I think just my inability to rest.
Mm.
Do you remember like that time we spoke about it? I was like, yeah, my mom's a go-getter. Like,
yeah,
she's someone that
yeah.
I haven't seen her rest.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
My sister's
what
a rest.
What is that?
I remember there was a therapy session.
Mm.
I think you told me to just not do anything.
Yeah, I told you to sit down and lie down, and you were like, for what?
For what? I remember, I thought, is this woman mad?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
You literally told me to just sit down. And I was like, and then what will I do?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
no,
yeah.
just sit down,
yeah.
not do anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, why would I do that?
Mm-hmm. But do you remember what you discovered as a result of
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I remember. I found it really, it was really nice. I remember I felt really rested. I was like, oh, I really like that, you know,
exactly.
I'm gonna do it again.
Exactly. And I think this goes back to, you know, how we can lose track of what it means to be human.
Yeah.
Like, you're not a machine.
Yeah.
You, and you know, even as you were talking today, you can tell that you're somebody that is a high achiever. You like to get things done. You're busy. I'm the same. But there is a point where your body has enough.
Yeah.
So if you're disconnecting yourself all the time for
yeah.
whatever reason,
yeah.
you're going to find that you get stuck and you end up in these cycles. So when it comes to actually meeting a goal, like trying to lose weight,
yeah.
trying to, you know, change your shape, your body's like, I'm not doing that. Because you've been telling me to go, do
yeah.
all these things.
It's true.
I don't know what it means to do that now.
Yeah.
So it can be... Yeah, childhood is a huge part of that. Culture is another big part of that, because even if you've had, you know, you've had that security at your in your home, when you go out into the world now, like I was saying, it's other people that came at me.
Yeah.
Social media is a huge one.
Yeah.
You know, especially now where we have this technology that is really tailoring into what you like.
Yeah, the algorithm.
If your
yeah.
likes are working against you, you're just going to be bombarded
it's
with that
true.
Stuff. Because it's not going to be showing you the healthy meals and the fun meals. It's going to be showing you what you're looking at, what you're drawn to.
Absolutely. It's so interesting you said that. I literally made a TikTok about this where, like, this is why even, like, diet culture can accidentally become obsessive for me.
Yes.
Because I might literally just... been innocently searching you know, a particular healthy meal or workout. Now my algorithm is going to show me all of that stuff.
Yes.
And it's now my algorithm now knows all of a sudden I'm trying to lose this amount of weight. So all my videos are here's how to lose 10 kilos, here's how to lose fat.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, those are things I've been thinking about, but like just because of those one, two searches and one or two likes,
yeah.
my algorithm's full. And it's like going back to what you said about the fixation, it's like this is in front of me now. Whereas before, you might be looking for things to fixate on, but now it's like it's in your face.
Yeah.
And it's now having the discipline to remove yourself from that if it's what, because it, I think more often than not, it is working against us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, 100%.
More often than not. 100%.
And I think it's also the same with influencers, dare I say, or, you know, experts. Everybody's an expert now.
Everyone's an expert.
And so it's probably easy for you to, you know, think, okay, I need this. I need to, or let's make it simple. I just want to work out how to be healthier.
Yeah.
So I'm going to look at, you know, food ideas. I'm going to look at workout ideas. And then you look at this person's TikTok and they're saying, do this, do it 5 times, do it this often. La, 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 la. No one doesn't know what their credentials are, what their experience is. And you take that one thing and you run with it, and then you're killing out yourself and you've got all these beliefs and expectations that it should work. And my biggest thing with that is everybody's an individual. Mm-hmm. Everybody's individual. Everybody's body is different. What works for one person isn't going to work for another. Yeah. And I think social media has really taken away getting personalized support. Because actually, how much further would you get? And I think we had this conversation, if you actually went to a PT.
Yeah.
If you went to a nutritionist.
Yeah.
If you went to a therapist. Yeah. If you went to somebody to work out that area for you.
Yeah.
Especially when most people give free consultations.
Yeah.
How much further would you get than just cherry picking this stuff from TikTok and Instagram and it's actually not for you?
Yeah, 100%. Mm. And I guess even like, even in your profession, everybody's a therapist.
Everybody's
on TikTok, by the way.
He's a coach.
Everybody now knows what a narcissist is. Everyone knows 5 tips to spot one. Yeah. So I get what you mean. It's like, if like you apply all that stuff as opposed to actually sitting down with somebody who can really help you understand you and the whole of you and apply that to you. It's true. It's true. And I think we are just overwhelmed and bombarded with all these different information. Like, and we are not, we are still individuals, and these things don't apply to all of us as well. So I definitely agree with that. And we did speak about that in therapy. Mm. I actually did go to get a PT after we spoke, however, and remember I told you I was going to recommend her. Yeah, the reason I did recommend her is because I wouldn't recommend her. That's why I never got back to you, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, but we'll talk about that offline.
Yes.
But but no, I completely agree. And like, obviously we touched on food. I had one of my friends here, and like maybe episode 2 or 3, she's a therapist too, and we spoke about like the relationship with food. And like, I want to know, what's your take on that? You know, I know you've got clients who come for all types of things, like you said. And I just want to know, what's your view on relationship with food when it comes to body confidence, eating disorders, and how can people improve that too?
So I think it's a broad question, but I think what I see most often is people don't actually take the time to recognize the function of food. So in a similar way that you talked about, you know, taking the time to recognize your body serves a function. This part of me does this. It's the same with food.
Right.
I think we're in a culture now where it's all about tastes. Mm-hmm. What do I feel like?
Yeah.
You know, what do I feel like eating?
Something sweet.
Right. I feel like Chinese today. Oh, let me go to that because on TikTok it looks nice.
Yeah.
Like everything is all about just feeding the emotions, basically. But the thought behind food is that, is it nutritional?
Yeah.
Is it actually what my body needs? Is it fuel for these workouts and these goals that I have? And I think people have lost that.
Right.
So I think that's where the difficulty comes. When it comes to your relationship with food, what are you eating and why are you eating it?
Okay.
Like, are you actually taking the time to really think about why you're eating what you eat?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, why not?
Okay.
Like, is it because you're fixated on something else?
Emotions.
Are you fixated on, you know, the goal of looking a certain way? But the food can be a really critical part of that. So that's one element. Another element is sometimes food can become a comfort.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be something that people run to for, again, emotional support.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even though it feels good, you feel like crap afterwards.
Oh, girl, you ain't got to tell me twice.
Right. So you have the shame. The shame and the guilt
is bad. Right. It is bad.
Right. So again, if you are, and then that becomes a crux, because if you then don't want to feel the shame, you don't want to feel the guilt, then you're putting all your, it can go the other way. You're putting all the emphasis on eating the right things, eating the right portion, doing all of this stuff. And then when you mess up, oh my gosh, I've messed up now. And then you feel even worse because, again, it's not, there's no balance.
Yeah.
People have lost balance.
Yeah.
So I think that's another way that, that food shows up. And then another way that people don't really talk about is, how do I phrase it? It's to do with irritation. So I'm very holistic in my approach. When it comes to your body, you can irritate it in different ways, right?
Okay.
Food is one of them. If you, and I know so many girls that do this, so many guys that do this, if you are ignoring your intolerances and your, what's the other one?
Somebody's getting triggered over there.
Your intolerances and your, what's the full-blown version? Allergies.
Allergies,
if
yeah.
You're ignoring those things, you're irritating your body.
Yeah.
And if your body's irritated, if your gut is irritated, if your skin is irritated, if your thyroid or any of your organs are irritated, it doesn't have the capacity to do what you want it to do.
Yeah.
So again, when you're trying to lose weight, when you're trying to do these other things, it doesn't have capacity for it because it's irritated. It's like your body's anxious.
Your body's pissed off with you.
Exactly.
Physically. It's true.
Exactly. So you're here saying, oh, I have to just ignore it. I'm just going to eat it and it'll be fine. And then you want to go to the gym. And your body's looking at you like, well, I don't know what you want me to do with this because I'm ill right now.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get me to do X, Y, Z. It's not going to happen. And it's so critical that people get this because when it comes to fat, I'm not an expert, but when it comes to fat, what I do know is your body will store fat when it feels like it is in protective mode,
right.
When it feels like it's in defense. So if it's irritated, if it's ill, it's going to store the fat.
Okay.
So you're going to work against your body.
Do you know what it is? You breaking it down like that makes it sound so simple.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, and also we hear these terms, intolerances, gut health, but you know, it's almost like a buzzword now.
Yeah.
So you don't really have a relationship with the word or knowing what it means. Mm-hmm. But it's true. If you actually see it as like, no, like you are pissing your body off, like you are hurting your body, you're irritating your body. Of course, it's not going to work properly when you're trying to bench press this or run this. Of course. Damn.
Right.
Feeling it right now.
Like, put down the milk.
Yeah.
Put down the milk.
Put down the milk, put down the cheese.
Right.
The dairy has to go.
The gluten has to go. And don't get me wrong, it's not about, you know, I am never going to be that one that's jumping on and saying, cut out this. If you can find balance, cool. But at the very least, know what agrees with you and what doesn't. Don't just be in naivety.
Yeah.
Actually own, I know this doesn't work for me, so I have to have very small amounts.
Right.
Rather than cutting it out completely, if you can't.
Yeah.
Of course, if you can, great. But if you can't,
That's so interesting. Mm. That is, because it's true. I've never actually thought that would impact even just like your working out.
100%.
It's 100%. So true. Because I know I have friends.
Yeah.
I'm looking at one of them now. I have a lot of friends who are like, they're intolerant to like dairy and things like that. But let there be cheesecake in the room.
Right.
Or a milkshake.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I thought you can't eat that. Oh, no, just this time.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I know some people like that too, 100%. But my question is, you know, again, coming back to food, why are you shutting off all of those signals? Because your body is giving you signals all the time.
Yeah.
So if you're starting to shut down and ignore the food signals, that again is going to give you a false relationship with food.
Yeah.
You need those signals because this information is helping you keep well and helping you keep healthy.
Yeah.
So if you're ignoring that, I'll give an example. So I am by definition probably all the things, lactose intolerant, like gluten-free, all of that.
Yeah.
But I know. So if I have rice or if I have white bread or any white stuff, I know I'm going to be bloated.
Right.
And then when I'm bloated the next day and I feel like rubbish, I can say it's because you had this and that.
Yeah.
I can't say, oh, I don't know. And then what happens? I don't want to work out. Or the workout is 10 times harder. Mm. So we have to make these connections because actually it's not going to help you to ignore it. It's still going to happen.
Yeah.
And you're going to put your body under more stress and possibly do more damage in the process.
Yeah.
But if you recognize it and you accept it, okay, if I want to eat cheese, for example, and I know I'm going to have a bloating and I know I'm going to struggle to work out, let me work out twice or let me put more effort in this side of the week.
Yeah, knowing that,
that. Do that, give my body a rest.
Time to rest off.
And then, you know, make sure that my food is good for the rest of the week so I can actually flush out that stuff.
Got you. And do you think it's possible, the more you ignore your body's signals, like psychologically, do you think it's possible to actually get to a point where you don't even notice your body's signals?
100%.
Okay.
100%. And I think this is why therapy is so helpful, because it gives you that awareness.
Yeah.
People will come to me all the time and I'll be like, why do you think this happens? Where did that come? I don't know. And it's like, okay, let's actually go back to the beginning. Let's unpeel all the layers. And then it's like, oh, because like I say, your body doesn't stop giving you signals. You just ignore them. You just don't recognize them or know them.
Yeah.
And again, this is why health, weight, all of these things are so personal, because what my signals are not going to be the same as yours.
Got you.
So you need that self-awareness, and it starts with taking the time to pay attention to what's really happening.
Okay, got you.
And then owning it.
Yeah. Woo! Guys, this is a heavy conversation. Yes. I already know when you touched on the lactose intolerance, that hit a nerve for a few listeners today. I know that for sure. But you know what? It's so true, because I think one thing I loved so much about having therapy with you is it felt like I was in a room with you, even though it was online. It felt like I was in a room with you and you were like looking at me. Like, you know when it's like, this person is seeing me and I've got nothing else to do but just be honest.
There's nowhere to go.
She knows. She'll know if I'm lying. Let me just be honest. And I think obviously when I'd come to therapy before, it was about like, obviously more like personal stuff or relationships and things like that. But I think when we spoke about the whole weight stuff and diet culture and all those things, I think it almost was like, why have I never thought that this is something I can come to therapy about?
Yeah.
You know, I guess it almost felt like it was something I had to carry on my own. Like, okay, well, what can a therapist do? Like, I need to go to the gym and I need to eat this and cut out that. But it's actually so important for people. Like, I'm literally advocating to you guys, please, it's so important to go and find out, like, what things are you ignoring in your body and what's fueling that? It might be childhood, it might be your current circumstance now, but I think it's so easy to just act like this is just a physical thing when actually I personally believe a lot of it is mental. A lot of it is a mental thing.
100%.
If you don't have the mindset, if you have a negative outlook at your body, you can look as good as anything, but if you have a negative view, baby...
And the negative view can come at any time.
Yeah.
So for some people, it can start at childhood and, you know, take root and develop. For some people, they could be fine all their lives and then all of a sudden something happens and then they develop the mindset. So, yeah, absolutely. And what therapy is great for is helping you to uncover those beliefs.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we've talked about this yet, but a lot of what I see is when you start to get to the root of why people are struggling, it's because of their beliefs. So, for example, it might be that at the root of everything, I don't feel good enough. I don't feel good enough to have my relationship, for example. And so, you know, owning my weight or owning my body and feeling confident in my body is really hard, because I just feel like I'm not worth it. I feel like I'm not good enough. Right. It might be, you know, that I don't feel validated. I don't feel like... trying to think of some other beliefs. So I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. It might be that you just feel like you're not good at things.
Yeah.
It might be, you know, no matter what I try, nothing ever works anyway. So what's the point in trying with this? I definitely felt like that on my skin journey. Like, I've been trying for so long. What's the point? Mm-hmm. If you have that belief, everything you try to do on top of it is not going to stick, because you're expecting this belief to come true.
Right. So you're still expecting to fail with it anyways.
So you have to be able to identify the beliefs, because sometimes it's the belief that creates the behaviors that you have.
Got you. Got you. And would you say, like, identifying those beliefs, do you think it is possible for people to identify that by themselves? Or do you think like you would advocate for therapy to be the place for people to do that?
I think it's good to have therapy regardless, because when it comes to identifying those things, you're talking to you, right?
You
can only get so far.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what you don't know, and you can't see what you can't see. So there's always a point where your self-awareness is going to be limited. Even for us as therapists, it's helpful to have a second opinion and somebody who's external that's not emotionally attached to you to help you see those blind spots.
Yeah.
So yes, you can do some of that by yourself, but I mean, who doesn't like support? It's always nice to have support and to be able to actually, because sometimes you're not going to like what you find. Girl. Sometimes it might surprise you.
I found
you.
A lot of things that I did not like.
Right. Or that you didn't know was there. Yeah. So I would always say therapy is the best place because you're going to have that support regardless of what you find.
Yeah.
And that person is going to help you come through it. It's not just like, okay, here's your belief. Go off and do what you're doing. Yeah. You've got that support.
Yeah. No, I think it does make a lot of sense having that support, because otherwise where else would you have that safe space to just be you without somebody that doesn't know you as well? And I guess going back to like some of the things that we spoke about in therapy, I'll never forget that body check-in, because that was real deep. Like, guys, for context, I literally would wake up every single morning and check my body, and I don't know, I remember the one time you were asking, what are you expecting to see?
Yeah.
And it's so true, because it's like, I don't know if I thought I would just wake up and just see abs over. And you know, like, I think what you helped me realize that with our eyesight, you will not see change like that anyways. Yeah. Like, the best, you know, unless you take a progress picture or something.
Yes.
But like, my eyes would not be able to capture progress every single morning. But I was doing it every single morning. And then I would like touch my stomach, touch my body. And I remember I was really conflicted with doing that. It almost felt that there was a shame element to it, because do you remember, obviously I used to work in eating disorders, so I'm literally advising people to not do this. I am doing this.
Yeah.
And it just felt like,
what's going on?
What is happening? What is happening? And I'd be working out, I'd be eating like this, I'd be doing, but like I said, I was doing it on my own strength. I didn't go to the experts. Yeah, I didn't go to get a PT or a nutritionist or any of these things, or find out what other intolerances I had. And it's like, old of me to assume that I would know all of this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's very easy to develop, and that those habits were based off like a limiting
belief.
Yeah, they were. They were based on like, I probably haven't lost weight kind of thing. And lo and behold, I'd look in the mirror and think that, although I might have lost weight.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And I think that you made a really valid point, because what happens is we create rituals.
Yeah.
And we create habits based off of what we're doing or based off of those beliefs. So like you say, for you, it was the mirror checking or the kind of, and for some people it might be getting on the scales every morning. Yeah. And for me, it was again, a mirror, looking at my skin or feeling my skin. Like, can I feel any imperfections?
Yeah.
And those rituals will keep us stuck, because really what's happening is we are responding to an emotion.
Yeah.
And so, or we're responding to a urge that we're just used to doing it out of habit.
Yeah.
We just feel like we need to keep doing it.
Yeah.
But if we don't take the time to slow down and actually check that, what am I expecting? Yeah. What am I believing? Why am I doing this? What's physically going on in me that's making me want to do this in the first place?
Yeah.
Until you address all of those things, you will just get into a cycle, and then your perception does change because your brain is powerful. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but when you look at yourself in the mirror in your house, you're going to see something different to when you look at your mirror outside of your house, like a shop mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a comfort. There is certain things that your brain is used to in your house, in your own space. Okay. So I don't know if you've ever gotten dressed and you look at yourself and you're like, yeah, I look nice or whatever. And then you go outside and you're like,
yeah, when I go to like Zara changing rooms.
And you're like, how did I not see that this morning?
Yeah.
Because your brain is so used to just repeating stuff.
Yeah.
If you're habitually doing something in your house, that's what it's going to keep showing you. But when you step out of that, it's different. And it's the same with therapy. When you're in your own head,
you
keep telling yourself the same thoughts, the same beliefs, you keep doing the same things. And then when you get that therapist on board, they're like, okay, let's widen this and let's show you what else is here. Like, this is all the other stuff that is also going on.
Mm-hmm. No, that's, woof, finger snaps. So I'm curious, when it comes to now, like, let's think of the other side of fitness and health, and let's think like cosmetic procedures, surgery and all of that. Do you think for like everything you've just said still applies to people who go under the knife? Like, what's your views on that?
I think it's a mixed bag. So again, it comes down to what your motives are and what your beliefs are about what that procedure is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some people who may see it as, I'm actually okay with my body, but I recognize, let me just say this first of all, your body changes.
Yeah.
As soon as we can accept that our bodies are going to change for our whole life, life gets easier because as women, our bodies change so much. I literally feel like our bodies change every decade without children, just every decade. Even and then when you slap on the children, this is a whole nother ball game.
Yeah.
So if you actually accept that your body is going to change, you're going to be less controlling about the changes when they come.
Got you.
So when it comes to these procedures, some people, they are confident in themselves, they like themselves, they have a good relationship with themselves, and it's a case of, do you know what, I just feel like this would just enhance what I have.
Right.
It's not necessarily, there's nothing else going on. Yeah. You just want to do it. It's just an enhancement.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, they see it as, you know, this is going to change how I feel. This is going to change how I think about myself. And that's where I feel like it's trickier.
Okay.
Because then what happens when it doesn't?
Mm.
Like if all your expectation is on this procedure and it doesn't work, you're going to feel like rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
The feelings are not going to change.
Yeah.
You're going to be upset. So it's the motives. What is the motive for you doing these procedures?
Okay.
I'm always going to be an advocate for health and natural things,
yeah.
but I would never say I'm against procedures.
Yeah.
I think it's about your motives and your comfort.
Okay.
For me, I feel like my first priority now is to just feel confident in my own skin. Yeah. And I don't even just mean my skin. I mean my whole body.
Yeah.
Like I just want to feel well and healthy and confident in myself.
Yeah.
And if a procedure is maybe going to help me do that, so be it. But it's not something I would necessarily do.
Yeah.
So I think you have to, yeah, you have to think about what your motives are and what your expectations are when you do this. Because what I see a lot of is people do one and now they want to do another one. And the feelings are not actually changing. And it surprises them because they're like, I thought that was going to be the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And like to feel more. Like kind of like doing it to feel confident or to feel beautiful, to feel whatever.
Yeah.
I think it is a tricky one. I'm very similar. Like I'm just more of a natural person anyways.
Mm.
But I agree. I feel like people have to do what they want to do at the end of the day. But I always empathize more with people who do it from like a lack like point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm lacking this thing. Mm-hmm. I don't have enough confidence. I don't, and you know, because I get it. Like, you know, it's not to say that I don't have those feelings sometimes, or we all haven't had those thoughts. But I think one thing a lot of people who've had surgery who've also come on my podcast have said is you cannot go into it with that mindset. Like you have to really be mentally prepared because things might not look how it looked on that person, on this person. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just wanted to know like, from a therapist point of view, your views on that as well.
And I also think people don't consider, you know, what else, kind of like that widening the lens, what else is going to change because of that.
Mm.
So, you know, when you're having these procedures, have you thought about how others are going to see you? Mm-hmm. Have you thought about how your children are going to see you? Mm-hmm. Have you thought about what it's going to feel like?
Yeah.
So I think I would just encourage people to have a conversation about it with a therapist, with whoever, but have a really well-rounded conversation about it because it may surprise you that you there's things you haven't thought about.
Yeah.
Because I think somebody said on one of your guests said it before, your weight can change, how you your shape can change.
Yeah.
Like so many things can change. And you just didn't consider them.
Yeah.
And now you're here. Yeah. It's like, right, now it's a whole other thing I need to get to grips with.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. It can be a slippery slope, like you said. But I think it kind of sounds like the overarching theme here is that, like, you need to do the inner work.
Yes.
Either way, whether you do it the natural way, surgery way, whether you're going gym. Because like you said, motives seem to be like the most important thing here. Because you could be going gym 5 times a week, eating healthy. But if your motives are not serving you, then you're still like mentally, you are going to still be feeling, you know, the weight of it.
Yeah. And I think it's also recognizing there's no quick fixes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're recognizing that, do you know what? I want to look a certain way and I'm working towards that by working out, by eating well. And this is going to enhance my journey. This is going to maybe give me a little bit of a shortcut, but you recognize it's not the whole job.
Yeah.
That's going to be, you're going to be more content with the results.
Yeah.
So again, how are you thinking about it? If you're doing the other things, then you're more likely to feel better at the end of it.
That's a woo. this is actually free therapy, you know. Like I'm this is I needed this. Our studio audience has asked. Our studio audience has asked, what advice would you have for someone that wants to start therapy but finds it a bit daunting and mm-hmm. doesn't really know where how to navigate it? That.
So I would say to approach it like a conversation and approach it like you would any other appointment, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. So ask questions. Think about what it is that you're actually wanting out of the process. Yeah. If you don't know, that's fine. But if you just want to explore, that's a reason in itself. Mm-hmm. So think about what you're wanting out of the process first. And then just do some research. Have conversations with people. Therapists are very much accessible now. Yeah. So even if you don't know where to start, even though there are directories, you can use social media.
Yeah.
I would say use it with caution, but you can use social media as a starting point. Mm-hmm. Start to get a feel for different therapists and see who you gravitate towards. And then when you find someone, start asking them questions. DM them, email them, pick up the phone. Like the thing is, therapists, as any helping profession, they're really lovely people.
Yeah.
Majority of the time, you're never going to be able to go wrong because they actually genuinely want to help you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So even if they tell you it's a 20-minute conversation, if you're there for 40 minutes, it's not a problem because they genuinely want to help you. So ask questions, get a feel for it. And yes, there is a cost to it. But what I would say is see it as an investment in yourself.
Absolutely.
So even if you start the process and you're like, I don't think this therapist is for me, or I don't think this approach is for me, because there's different types of therapy, don't let that speak for the whole profession.
Yeah.
Like, take that as an opportunity to be like, okay, I liked this, but I prefer this.
Yeah.
And try again.
Yeah.
I think you can kind of tell in, and you can say what your thoughts are, Rose. You can tell after one or two sessions whether or not a therapist is for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So don't stay if you feel like it's not working.
Yeah. And I guess to also answer the same question as somebody who's gone to therapy, I think obviously I've come from I'm in the mental health field. Mm. So I think I was a little bit more like,
Yeah,
let me really make sure I'm going to the right kind of person. I really did my research on you, Karen, just so you know. I did my research.
Okay.
But no, all jokes aside, I think for me what was so important is I need to be able to catch a vibe with my therapist. I know I'm aware that we're going to talk about some very uncomfortable things which are maybe not on the surface for me, and I'm somebody who is I'm quite good at being self-aware and really in tune with myself. So I knew that I'd be going to a deeper level of this.
Yeah.
But then what I needed to feel like is that this person gets me.
Mm.
And I didn't, it's so weird, guys. Like, therapy is serious, but I needed to talk to somebody that just didn't make it feel so serious.
Yeah,
if that makes 100%.
Sense.
So I feel like, I think we had a conversation. I definitely thought, like, okay, this is my kind of gal. She's my kind of gal. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that was really important for me, and this is not for everybody, but for me, I really needed to make sure I had somebody that had the same beliefs as me.
Mm.
And I think because I'm a big believer of God and therapy. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if I'm going to pray about something, I need to do the work.
Yes.
So I needed to know that I could comfortably talk about, like, fasting. Or like, oh yeah, I'm fasting this week, so I'm, this is my prayer point. And it's not, don't get it twisted, Karen was not preaching to me, but it was like, it just felt like somebody who, she knows what I'm doing.
Yeah.
She's been there herself and so on and so forth. So if that's something that's important for you, most people do have it clearly written, or you can ask that question. Like, and also I had enough therapists before. I never spoke about God, so I wouldn't know if they believed in God either. So obviously just, you don't always have to bring it up if you don't want to.
Yeah.
But I think I just wanted to be able to know that I could bring it up and you knew about it.
Yeah.
So I think those are things that I looked for in a therapist. I think at the time I was quite fixated on the therapist being black as well. I think
it's
important. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was quite fixated on being black. I think I was black and being a woman. I think those were my things. I know some people will look for a man and a different race, and that's all fine. But once again, like you said, you have to find what is it you're looking for. There were just certain things I just didn't want to have to explain.
Yes.
Oh, I needed Karen to hear me and just know she just gets know. It. Yeah. Yes, like, yes. I don't have to explain certain things that, like, you already know, sis.
Yeah,
That was my thing. But I understand some people want someone completely
different.
Yeah. And that's fine.
Yeah.
So there isn't a right or wrong way.
No.
But I think you just have to know what kind of person do you want to hold this space. And I think when there was, like, obviously relationships was like a big topic that came up, and I think from a cultural point of view, you got it, like, you just know how the dating scene is for our race sometimes. So it was like, I think I just knew I didn't have to, like, over explain that. Like, when I was, like, in like those relationships then. So yeah, I think it's definitely an investment that I have no, I was happily willing to pay that. I said, I need help, Karen, please. Yes. And I think I had, how many sessions did I have the second time? It was quite a lot.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I was speaking to him like every week. I think there was a point.
Yeah, there was. And I think, yeah, we went down to maybe every other week at one point as well. So it's good to be able to know that therapy isn't rigid.
Yeah.
You can have some flexibility. Yeah. And of course, it depends on the therapist, but you don't have to be there every week. Mm-hmm. Every other week is also okay. Less than that, we're not really doing therapy. We're going more into coaching ground, but there's some flexibility. You can have 6 sessions, 12 sessions, go see how you do, come back.
Yeah.
It can be fluid. One other thing I would say, or two other things, is age.
Yeah.
So thinking about the age of the therapist, some people take comfort in having a therapist that's older than them. Some people want somebody that's similar in age that kind of gets the culture, gets where they're coming from. That's also okay. So think about the age of the therapist that you want.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I would always, once you've done your research and you've got a feel and you've spoken to people, I would always check credentials.
Yeah.
And I can't not say that, because there have been some situations that where therapists have taken the mic. Mm. So to protect yourself.
Yeah.
And to also make sure that you're getting a good quality therapist.
Yeah.
I would always recommend that you go through a directory. So yeah, you can go through BACP.
Yeah.
You can go through Barton, which is a directory specifically for Black and Asian therapists.
Oh, that's where I found you. Yes, yeah, I found Barton, you in that directory.
And there's Counseling Directory. There's lots of directories. But the reason why the directories are good is because every therapist who signs up to them does so voluntarily. And it comes with procedures, it comes with complaints procedures, it comes with that safety. We're agreeing to work in an ethical way.
Okay.
So if anything ever goes wrong, you have support. You have somewhere to say, I didn't like this. Like, this went wrong. Can you help me?
Yeah.
And it also means that that therapist is more committed to what they're doing, because they're actually making that financial commitment, that public commitment to be part of a membership.
Yeah, that's a really good point. On the topic of age though, I don't think I even knew your age till like towards the end of our session.
Yeah,
I think the whole time I thought you were my age the whole time.
A lot of people do.
I think you mentioned something about your children. I was like, you have children.
Yes, but then this is the thing about beliefs, isn't it, or about kind of expectations, because a lot of therapists have their picture.
Mm.
So the first thing that you'll see before you know anything about a therapist is their picture.
Yeah.
And you'll already start to develop ideas. I don't think they're for me. I kind of like the way they look. They seem.
Yeah.
You already start to develop some kind of opinion.
Yeah.
So yeah, the picture.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. But yeah, I also want to just give your flowers as well. Like, Karen literally has transformed so many beliefs in my mind. So many, like, unhelpful thinking styles. And I say this as somebody that was already, like, I'm not saying this to toot my own horn, but I'm already someone who's quite level-headed, and I was somebody who I think had a good outlook and positive outlook to life. But it was just, like, those blind spots. And my blind spots were big, guys. That's one thing I would say. I had some big blind spots. And I think what was so great about therapy is, like, you managed to show me that in a very, like, gentle way. And I think I needed that, because I think I was still kind of like, oh, am I really doing that? Like, am I really struggling with that? Like, do you remember that time? Sorry, guys, I just have to go off the topic here. Do you remember that time when you asked me to write a list of good things about men?
Yes.
I was just looking at you on the camera like,
why?
Why would I write a list? And I struggled. We're just sitting there looking at each other in silence.
Yeah.
And I think I wrote like 2 things. And you like were like, no, like, keep thinking. And but once again, I would never say I was somebody who was like an I hate men type of girl. Do you get what I mean? Mm-hmm. But once again, it was that blind spot of like, no, but why can't I think of positive things about men?
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was impacting my relationships and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm adding that here, guys, just so you know that it's not like, oh, you have to be some broken person to go to therapy. You can I actually feel like therapy the second time was better because I came in like, okay, I'm actually in a healthy space, but I just want to learn more about myself.
Yeah.
And I think that time therapy hit so much different because I didn't have all these crazy emotions going on. It was kind of like I was quite sound-minded at the time. And I just wanted to get to know myself more. And I just, I have to thank you so much for that. And, you know, like single-handedly changed my life, girl. You really did. That's why I had to bring you here so everyone gets to know you.
Yes.
And obviously I recommended you to friends as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know the whole group. She knows all the group secrets at this point. And I know like two of my friends who've used it found you really helpful as well. And I think that's a testament to your, just how good you are as a therapist. I think your character as well. Like, guys, I'm literally sitting here like, this is a friend. Like, this is just like, and I think that's how I, for me, that's how I feel therapy should be. And I think, I just want to thank you so much for all your help. Hey. And I'm in really good space. And I'm really happy.
And can I say, I'm so proud of you. It's funny because I watched all the episodes. I think I maybe got two more to watch. And I was like, look at Rose. Like, she's doing her thing and hearing, you know, that you're still running and you're doing all this stuff. I love that. And I think that's what's beautiful because as therapists, we do have boundaries. It's not like I can email you and be like, what's going on, Rose? I actually have to be patient and like, if I get glimpses off of social media, you know, so be it, but I can't like stuff.
Yeah.
Very boundary, but I see. Definitely see what you're doing. Yeah. And it does. I'm so proud of everyone I work with.
Yeah.
It's lovely to be able to have this moment.
Yeah.
And to actually meet you.
Yeah, I know. In person. I know, right?
And then actually be able to share this space because it's not something that I would usually get to do. So thank you.
No worries.
But yeah, I am. I'm very proud of you because I remember the sessions. I remember the conversations. Yeah. And I love the fact that you have not let any of that stop you and you've been able to move past it.
Thank you. Aww, it's so wholesome. What a wholesome episode, guys. Yeah. Oh, this is so cute. Are we good for time? Yeah? Okay, cool. So, Karen, what final words would you want to give to listeners? I know we spoke a lot about the things that get people to be in the spaces they're in mentally around fitness and health. But what advice would you have for them to combat that outside of therapy? Like, what kind of things can people do at home? Like, what are some skills that they can
develop? Do at home? So I think it all comes down to your mindset.
Yeah.
I would really encourage you to be brave and to be curious, because I think when we get into a critical zone, it can feel really difficult to take a look at yourself. But if you can approach it with curiosity and be gentle with yourself and just be interested in yourself, you'll get a lot further. So I would say really pay attention to your whole health. Rather than looking for quick fixes and shortcuts, think about lifestyle. Think about how can I actually make changes that are going to still get me a result, but to do it in a sustainable way and to do it over time. So that would be my first thing. I would encourage you to really look at your health in terms of your eating holistically. Like I said, go and book the testing, go and look at your minerals and your vitamin deficiencies and all of those things. Go and look at your intolerances to see what's actually working and what's not. I would encourage you to look at your sleep. I'd encourage you to look at what actually works for you when it comes to fitness.
Mm.
Do you need cardio? Do you need slower workouts? Like, actually get to know what works for your body with support, and then operate in a tailor-made way. And I would also encourage you to really think about what makes you feel good. What do you enjoy? Fitness is for the long term.
Yeah.
So think about what you actually enjoy. Make it fun. Make it enjoyable. Make it something that isn't a stressful activity and you have to drag yourself out of bed every morning. And operate with grace. If you can, give yourself time to get it wrong. Give yourself time to make mistakes. Don't aim for perfect. Just aim for progress.
Ooh,
that's what I would say.
I love that. What a beautiful way to end the episode. Thank you so much for those tips. I'm definitely going to make a note of that. I think our studio audience is making notes of that as we speak. Thank you so much for coming once again. This was a really good episode. I say this about every episode, but it kind of, like I said, it felt like another free therapy session.
Thank you
so much for coming. Thanks, guys, for listening. If you love this episode, if you know, first of all, Karen's details will be in the description box. So please book Karen for therapy sessions, for a consultation. Her website will be there. And yeah, just, you know, and I also put the website that I found you, the directory as well. And that's where you can find like Black and Asian therapists in the UK. So please do have a look there. Please like, comment and subscribe. If you've got any comments, any questions about what we've discussed, please leave it there in the comment section and I will make sure to read it and respond. And thank you so much, guys, for listening to another episode of the Weight of It podcast. Woo! Exactly.